Good morning. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Diversity Food Services. Diversity is a social enterprise committed to a just and fair food economy in Winnipeg. Elements Restaurant at 501 Portage Avenue is a proud part of Diversity Food Services family. A full-service, licensed sit-down restaurant with easy access right off of Portage Avenue.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. The show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world. Good morning and welcome to the show for Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. I hope you're having a good day despite the cold temperatures. And today I'll be talking about two books as usual, and I hope you'll enjoy that. But first I'll talk about the weather and a few events. So in today's weather, according to the forecast from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, it's currently minus 23 degrees and mostly cloudy. So today for Tuesday, January 20th, the forecast is minus 18 with increasing cloudiness. Then tonight, minus 18 with periods of light snow. For Wednesday, January 21st, minus 14 degrees with periods of light snow, then overnight, minus 26 with cloudy periods. For Tuesday, January 22nd, minus 26 with and sunny, and then overnight, minus 31 and clear. For Friday, January 23rd, minus 28 and sunny, and overnight, minus 33 and clear. For Saturday, January 24th, minus 28 and sunny, then overnight, minus 29 and clear. Then for Sunday, January 25th, minus 24 and sunny, and overnight, minus 27 and clear. So kind of a cold week, but a few breaks in there. And now it's time for CQW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So these two are ones that I've mentioned quite often before, but the 2026 Stars on Ice Tour will celebrate Canadian Olympic figure skating at Canada Life Centre on May 6th. And it's led by Elvis Stoico, Piper and Paul, and Deanna and Max. And so that's May 6th, and tickets have been on sale since November 21st. And it says, as the world looks ahead to the 2026 Winter Olympics, Canada's top figure skaters are preparing to proudly represent their country's rich history at the Winter Games. Once the Olympic flame goes out, fans will have an opportunity to grab a front row seat to see and celebrate these great athletes in person. So this spring, Stars on Ice returns with a dynamic new show that highlights Canada's Olympic aspirations, world-class talent, and the beauty of figure skating. The show brings together the country's most celebrated skaters, past, present, and future. So that's Stars on Ice 2026 Tour, and tickets have been on sale for a while, but the show is on May 6th. And then an ongoing thing is Community 204 Walks. And it says, join us every Friday, 5:30 p.m., meet at 605 Main Street. Items needed are water bottles, snacks, and sandwiches. So if you'd like to meet people in the community and interact with people who might need certain things or might just want someone to talk to, join the group on every Friday at 5:30 p.m. at 605 Main Street. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQUW, email us at ckuw.uwinnipeg.ca or call 204-786-9782. So now, as I mentioned a little bit later, I'll be talking about two books, but maybe first I'll play a little bit of music. So Or here's the news, actually. So, according to the CBC, the Supreme Court of Canada is hearing the second day of arguments regarding a Quebec case that has been going on for 4 years over the question of whether or not the police should have the power to conduct random traffic stops. Although the lower courts have already ruled against it, saying that it leads to racial profiling, Quebec's Attorney General has been fighting the decision. The case stemmed from Montrealer Joseph Christopher Luamba, who has claimed that he has been pulled over more than a dozen times for no particular reason during the first 18 months that he had his license. It could take up to a few months for the court to make a decision on the case. Then in international news, at least 18 people have died as a result of, according to Global News, at least 18 people have died as a result of wildfires that burned 8,500 hectares of forest and destroyed at least 100 homes in central and southern Chile over the weekend. Currently, the country is suffering from a heat wave, with temperatures on Sunday reaching 38 degrees Celsius, and that has exacerbated the risk of fire. As a result of the situation, Chilean President Gabriel Boric has declared a state of catastrophe in two regions. A deadly fire came through the central part of the country in 2024, killing at least 130 people. So that's the news for today, and then I'll play a little bit of music, so I hope you'll enjoy this. This is from the album Haydn, Symphony No. 26 and 86, and Mozart Violin Concerto No. 3 by the Handel and Haydn Society. And this is Mozart. I'll play part of Mozart Violin Concerto No. 3 in G major, K216. But I won't have time for all of it, so I hope you'll enjoy the part that I play. So that's Mozart Violin Concerto No. 3. Thank you.
Millions of Canadians are living with a brain injury, but millions more don't fully understand the impact it can have. The invisible effects of a brain injury can make everything more challenging. Without recognition, understanding, and care, these challenges only grow. By learning about brain injury, you can show those impacted they're not alone. Find information, access resources, or make a donation at braininjurycanada.ca.
With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM, and with a Friends card, your dollars will get you more at
the King Cobb Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start, end, or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out their Bella Vista nights every Wednesday for free live music sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM. Fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends card and get access more deals around Winnipeg.
So welcome back. Before the break, that was Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 3. And as I mentioned, I have some books to talk about. And one of them I've talked about before, but I thought it was appropriate to talk about it again, considering what's going on south of us. So this is called Reasonable Cause to Suspect: A Mother's Ordeal to Save Her Son from a Kurdish Prison, by Sally Lane. That's Dundurn Press, and it's 360 pages. Being jailed indefinitely in a foreign country would be a nightmare for anyone. In Reasonable Cause to Suspect, British-Canadian Sally Lane relates a compelling story of her fight to have her son, Jack Letts, released from prison in Syria and brought to Canada, in keeping with the principles of justice and the rule of law. Lane was born in London before moving to Toronto with her family as a teenager. She earned a degree in French and history from the University of Western Ontario and then relocated to Oxford, England, where she worked as a copy editor and charity fundraiser. She and her husband, John Letts, were prosecuted in the United Kingdom under terrorism legislation and received suspended sentences over their concern for their son or their attempt to get their son back. Currently, she lives in Ottawa. In January 2023, the federal court ordered the Canadian government to repatriate four Canadian men, including Jack Letts, from prisons in Syria, where they were being held as suspected Islamic State terrorists. Lane's book ends before the court decision was made, but it provides a very thorough and compelling account of the circumstances that led to that development. Following a brief introductory chapter, Lane explains how she and her husband found themselves facing terrorism charges, as I mentioned, over their attempt to send money to their son to help him return home. In 2014, Jack had gone on a visit to a friend in Jordan and failed to return, having gone on to Syria, where he then became trapped in Islamic State territory without the funds necessary to escape. Over the next chapters, Lane describes the struggles she and her husband endured as they tried one tactic after another to find out what had happened to their son and to determine how they could help him. As they tried to sift through mixed messages from officials, they found themselves under arrest for trying to send money to their son to help him return home. Dealing with their own legal problems only complicated a situation where reliable information on Jack's welfare was difficult to find and communication often sporadic or impossible. Meanwhile, Lane had a chance to reflect on issues such as the dubious legality of many military tactics in the Middle East, as well as questions of justice and proof of guilt. The title of the book comes from one of the issues that the author encountered along the way, the ease with which people can be branded for life as terrorists. For a murder case in Britain or Canada, a conviction is supposed to be based on compelling evidence presented in court, but incarceration as a terrorist requires only, quote, a reasonable cause to suspect, end quote. Thus, people can be imprisoned for years without ever being convicted of a crime. Lane writes as a mother, but also as an observer of the British and Canadian legal and political systems. Democratic countries are supposed to function by the rule of law, where everyone is entitled to a fair trial, a principle that, in her estimation, officials overlooked. When Jack's British citizenship was revoked in 2019, Lane moved to Canada and began to campaign here for her son's release. Although Lane ends her book with her son's case still in limbo, the story is still a timely and compelling account, and from what I read yesterday, it sounds like he's still in prison. Whether as a story of family solidarity and trust, or as a or as a case study in issues of justice and the rule of law, Reasonable Cause to Suspect is worth reading. So that's Reasonable Cause to Suspect. A Mother's Ordeal to Save Her Son from a Kurdish Prison by Sally Lane, and that's published by Dundurn Press. That's 360 pages. And then the second one I'd like to discuss is Chinese Prodigal, A Memoir in Eight Arguments, by David Shih, S-H-I-H. And that's Atlantic Monthly Press, and it's 292 pages. And race is a fundamental to the way that people see each other. In Chinese Prodigal, David Shih explores the part that race played in both his life and the lives of his family and others in his community, drawing out lessons for people of all backgrounds and ethnicities. As he explains in his introduction, Shih's idea for the book came after his father's death in 2019, when he decided to explore the role that race played in his family's history. The author was only a year old when his family moved from Hong Kong to the United States, some of the first people to benefit from the Hart-Celler Act, which ended a ban on immigration from Asia. Chinese Prodigal explores the role that the author's Chinese background played in forming the route his life took. As part of this discussion, he compares expectations of Chinese immigrants with what the local community wanted from other minorities. Although Asians are often seen as good, hard-working people, a model minority, as he called it, the author still struggled with the stereotypes that people have of his community. For Shih, being Asian in the United States has been difficult at times, especially when he has been mistaken for one of the many refugees from Vietnam or has had to deal with assumptions about his character based on his ethnicity. Being mistaken for Japanese or other groups has not always been easy for him, but it has given him the chance to reflect on the role of race in people's lives, and especially the way that racism reduces the choices in their lives. With those ideas in mind, David Shih has written a series of essays in Chinese Prodigal about how people's race can affect lives positively or negatively. He includes many personal and family stories to illustrate the points that he makes, showing the role of traditional values in modern life and analyzing the role that race has played in his own family's life. The author discusses ideas such as how second-generation immigrants differ from the first generation, who is deserving of help, expectations of how race will affect countries like the United States and in the future. And especially now, I guess this was written long before current events, but I'm sure he would write a little bit differently now. So, and another issue is how the issue is how fairness affects people of different races and how it affects how they're treated, especially in relation to the justice system and the media. Affirmative action, interracial marriage, careers available to immigrants, and other issues are also part of the discussion. Throughout the book, she gives examples from his own family's life and the lives of others, including the case of Chinese-American police officer Peter Lang, who shot a black man and then failed to give the victim assistance. These examples help to support his ideas, making the book a good choice for readers looking for insights into how race affects people's responses to the challenges in their lives. So the book is written in an academic style, although the book has few citations and no bibliography. There are a few difficult sections, but it's also a memoir that many readers could enjoy on that level. As a treatise on immigrant life in North America, or as a family story, Chinese Prodigal is worth reading. And David Shi is a professor of Asian literature at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, where he has taught for over 20 years. He has written for publications such as New York Times, Electric Literature, Inside Higher Education, and NPR's Code Switch. He was born in Hong Kong, but has lived in the United States since he was a year old. So that's Chinese Prodigal, by a memoir in eight arguments by David Shi, S-H-I-H, and that's Atlantic Monthly Press, 292 pages. So I hope you'll look for one or both of these books and see if you can understand what's going on in the United States a little bit from, and Canada as well, from these two stories. So we're coming to the end of the show for today, but Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman is coming up next. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with more talk about books. So have a great day and a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Generous support to CPOW 95.9 is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice-weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. And kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
You're tuned to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg Radio, made possible by generous listener support.
Put this in your calendar.